Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Good turnout this morning. I appreciate you coming and sending the Rich family and others off for this new ministry adventure. It's a bittersweet day for me because it's the launch of a new ministry that I've been praying about for over 5 years now and seeking the Lord's face for over 5 years. But it's also sad because for a second time in 5 years, I'm leaving Twin Cities Bible Church. Thankfully, we're only 45 minutes away. Continue to pray for us. Continue to visit us. And the elders will be talking together. I'm sure we'll be fall conferences and church picnics. And who knows what the Lord will do together with both of our churches. So it's a time of great hope as well. I need to move quickly here, so let's start. I was working on this morning. Very difficult to see my notes through the tears as I reflected on what the Lord has done. But there is a clear theme, and it's the Lord's glory. This is all about Him. It's about His provision and His providence. I've seen His hand time and time again. And just reflecting on it, it's now in print so that it will be an anchor for my soul. I can read these notes again as well as Dr. Zaspel's ordination sermon, another good anchor for my ministry. So I wrote a letter to pastors September 2nd, 2000, the year 2000. It's a letter where I expressed to him my desire for ministry and preaching and teaching the word. Didn't know how to go about talking to some about, so I wrote him a letter. I just took a paragraph out of that letter as I was reflecting from the very beginning. In the last couple of years, I've come to realize how few born-again pastors there are who are willing to preach the entire Word of God, combat false teaching, and uphold the sovereignty of God and man's salvation. I've been so blessed to see true fellowship, meeting others' needs, and the willingness to be obedient to even the tough matters in the Scripture, such as church discipline. There really needs to be more churches like Twin Cities Bible Church. Sometimes I feel like I'm out there talking about low back pain or pathology on an x-ray, and I'm thinking to myself how much I'd rather be pouring out my heart, soul, and the talents the Lord has given me into preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I love to study so much. I've always told myself that if I could find a way to earn a living studying, that's what I'd do. So I became a professor of chiropractic radiology. But when one is born again, things definitely change. I can honestly say that the desire to publish the most and best papers, write multiple textbooks in my field, and be famous in this regard is dwindling, I put in there, honestly. Of course, not completely extinguished. Honestly, at this point, all I can think about is how to get out of school debt as quickly as possible and what I need to do to serve the Lord full time. That was over 9 years ago that I wrote that. And it's taken that much time for the Lord's providential markers to be in place for that to come to fruition. So when the elders received that letter, they began to put me into an opportunity to begin to teach and to begin to minister under their watchful eye. And that was wonderful to begin that in-house training even that many years ago. Began to work with the youth group at that time. I see many of my now college and career-aged young men and women serving the Lord, and it's exciting. And so that, you know, we had a great time with that. And as we began to continue to push this, it became very clear that the providential markers were not in place for me to begin seminary training. My heart's desire was to go to Master Seminary, where Pastor had gone. At the cost of living in California, baby number four had arrived, and I still had thousands and thousands of dollars of school debt piled up. And so at that point, we decided, you know, we're not saying you're not called to ministry. Let's be patient. Let's, you know, stay plugged in, and let's see what the Lord does. And so I said, Lord, I have to get excited about my work again. Oh, okay, so I did. I tried. and it was very difficult. And through that process, 2 months later, the Lord opened up a job for me, which was the natural next step in my career, and that's to pursue a department head at National College in Chicago in radiology. So with much agonizing prayer and counsel, we decided to take that position in Chicago. It was a good decision for a number of reasons. We, as the Lord would have it in His providence, joined a church plant. And so we saw firsthand what it was like to set up and tear down, to have a small nucleus of people who are serving and have to serve in order to pull this off, and the joy that was there in a church plant ministry. So I learned many things in Chicago. Got to my job at National and realized, I looked around for a Bible study is there a Bible study on campus? Well, there was a yoga study. There was a study for the Muslims and students. There was no Christian study or campus group on it. It was a dark place. I remember coming back telling Jody, that is one dark place. And so the Lord put it on my heart to start something on that campus. And so we did, and He blessed. And by the time we left, there was probably 35 students coming there. And I just said, Lord, I don't want this to die, because when you have students that are kind of helping to run student groups, right, they graduate. And so we needed a fixture, someone who was going to be watching over that ministry. And the Lord called a local Baptist pastor who somehow had heard about it. He came in and started attending, just kind of in the background. I didn't know who he was. Finally, he told me. We became good friends. A solid man of God, and he took over the study when I left, and that was one of the things I was concerned about. And the study continues on to this day. So I praise the Lord for that. That could be why He sent us there. There's many reasons. But the desire for ministry continued to increase. And I remember exactly where I was talking to Jim Seifert on the on-ramp by my house, saying, well, you know, talk to the elders. I still have this desire. I want to get their stamp of approval from both churches now that this is still God's will. But those providential markers are going away. I had a good job, good paying job. And, of course, the extra money went right into student loans. It was fun, nuking those student loans. But they were gone now. And to me, that was time to sell the farm and go to Master Seminary. So they were praying about that, and it continued at a fever pitch. And we came and visited Twin Cities Bible Church in, I believe it was May or January of 2004, believe it or not. And they had me over to Jack Fremont's home. We talked about ministry and my desire to go to seminary. They didn't say a thing. They just kind of smiled and nodded and said, we'll pray. But all the while, they 2 months ago before that, had a man, Ron Dahlin, approach with a vision for a church plant south of the river and for a desire to find a man to help to preach and teach in that ministry and to call a pastor. They didn't tell me that at the time. They just heard my heart and then committed it to prayer for another four or so months. May of 2004, a pastor called me on my cell phone. I know exactly where I was standing when he called me on my cell phone, walking on the campus at National, and said, we've been praying. Here's the situation. We'd like you to pray and seek the Lord's face to consider coming back to Twin Cities Bible Church for in-house training and, of course, seminary supplemental training, Greek and Hebrew, and so on here locally. And so we prayed hard about that and said, we don't feel it's time. We can move back this month or next month. I have to finish some of the things I've started at National. We were only there for 9 months in our church. And so we prayed, and we allowed that to be an opportunity to pray. And so we prayed and sought the Lord's face. And I began, I went to Moody Bible Institute and took first year Greek and took church history at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And began moving forward with this all the while we're praying for the Lord's direction. And it is a funny story, but at the end of my wonderful church history course at Trinity, my final exam is due on December 13th. And so I've been studying for this test, you know, right, Pastor? I like to study. So I'm studying for this test, and I'm just loving church history. And the test is due, but I have to drive 40 minutes to Trinity from my house to go take this test. But Jody was starting to go into labor. It wasn't really labor, and you know, this was number, what was it, five? So we'd done this once before, so I kind of knew what was happening. And so, no, I think it's not even labor, I just think it's just kind of, okay, well, are you sure? I have my cell phone on, I'm going to run and drive and take my test. So I got to I got all the way to the seminary, walked up, about to take the test. Jody says, ding, ding, cell phone. Sorry, it's actually a little more serious than I thought. So I go into Professor Woodbridge's office and said, well, I really can't take the test because my wife seems like she's going into labor. And, well, that's all right, you can come back and it's an hour drive. Would it be okay if I take the test home with me? And he folded it up, put it in an envelope, and said, that would be great. Got home. Jody's doing great now. All of a sudden, I'm sorry, it was a bit of a false alarm. And I'm like, oh. So I get back, and I said, well, I've just studied. I might as well take the test. So I take the test. It was a great test. I wrote a big two-page essay on Charles Spurgeon. I mean, how good is that? That was fun. And finished the test, put in the envelope, and an hour later, she was in labor. First, a home birth. So I went upstairs. We had doctors and nurses come into the house, which you can do in Chicago much easier than Minnesota, and we enjoyed our first home birth. House was on the market. As we continued to pray and get clear leading, put the house on the market. It sold in 3 weeks. We came back for a day. I didn't have a job, and I was a little bit nervous about that, but committing to the Lord. And the day we were looking for houses, and one day we looked at 30 houses, 20 houses, a lot of houses. And as I am looking at a house that has good potential, Northwestern's vice president calls me up and says, we don't have it budgeted for you for a position. I was like, oh, okay. But I talked to the president directly, and he authorized you starting part-time as soon as you get back. So you got a job. You got your job back. So here we are looking for a house. The president calls me up, or the vice president gives me my job back. An hour and a half later, I'm writing a purchase agreement on the home that we bought in Lakeville. Again, God's providence. So the transition to Minnesota was difficult in that I didn't realize that seminary training was going to be so demanding. I love to study, but it's very demanding education. And so we got back. I passed my Greek test. We started. I took 5 classes and with work and family. It was a big load, and it was hard on us. But the Lord was teaching us that His grace is sufficient for us. And we stuck together as a family, and we really have grown through this difficult time of being in seminary. But the Lord has really blessed my radiology practice. It transferred over well, and from day one, it was seamless. Within the first week of arriving back, my boss, said, yep, you're back in, and you're back in the same percentage that you were when you left 2 years ago. Well, he didn't have to do that at all. So I'm back and up and running in my practice, just like that, first day. January of 2007, I began to be an elder in training and found some of the most valuable in ministry training took place in those meetings discussing ministry and iron sharpening iron and older men and seasoned men who love the Lord and are united. We have wonderful elders at this church. And they trained and taught me so much. And I look back even now to my struggles to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. One of the verses we're learning in family this week. And realize, wow, I struggle with that now. Don't even tell me what it was like those first few elders' meetings. I don't want to know. But they were patient with me that whole process and allowed me to grow through those bumps and bruises, which is absolutely essential. We started meeting regularly with 4 core men, is what we had for the church plant. And we started meeting, it looks to me like May of 2007, officially, when the typed notes began to be appearing in my on my computer. And we went through a book by Mark Dever called The Deliberate Church, which just helped to it was really a conversation starter more than it was going through the book. We began to plan and continued to go through that. I began meeting with Dr. Zaspel for preaching training and pastoral theology and counseling and one-on-one, and an amazing resource and such a blessing. I don't have time to go into that detail about how much of a blessing Dr. Zaspel has been to me in that process. I met a young man, Paul Fuller, at a seminary, who has become one of my best friends. And just an encouragement. I couldn't have done seminary without him. The Lord raised him up and to help me, you know, as a more of a senior classman, to help a young guy figure out what in the world to do, how to do those Turabian papers and things like that. So it was a blessing, and our hearts knit together. He's now at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary finishing his degree. But his church, he was an elder in his church, and his church, the pastor fell. And it was difficult for him to walk through that. And they decided, because the church had dwindled, to close the doors, and they sold the building. And Paul and the elders came to our leading men and presented a check for $45,000 to our church plant to help with startup costs. March of 2008. Some of you were at the service when Paul presented that check when we were meeting at the school. Again, we see God's provision and His providence. There was a crisis point in my own heart, May of 2008, and Pastor remembers this meeting. I went to him and just kind of poured out my heart on some of the concerns I had about, you know, what was, you know, where we're at, and boy, here we're supposed to start this church in 3 months, and I was really, I didn't think we were ready, but yet I didn't want to say we weren't ready, because I wanted to be ready, and I wanted to get going. So it was this kind of tension in my own heart, and I said, we don't have another family with kids, we don't have another husband and wife together, kids, sovereign grace, love the Word. You know, I think that needs to be in place, and we don't have that. And so we put the brakes on for a fall start in 2008, and committed to prayer. And, okay. And so we prayed about it, and the Lord answered our prayer directly in sending the Faye family to us, with two kids, matches our older daughters perfectly in interest and age, love the Word of God, love sovereign grace, and it's a privilege to see the Lord answer that prayer. I sent Barb and Audrey Germanson from that same open house time. And so, again, His providence and patience, waiting on Him and not pushing ahead on our own agenda. We're learning that lesson. And so we began to launch. We decided to launch a Wednesday night service on the 17th of September 2008, instead of a Sunday morning service. We'd have something to invite people to. We'd begin to do ministry in Lakeville, begin to gather a core group, make connections, and do those kinds of things that we'd been longing to do. And so it was a good answer to prayer to have to kind of see that we could do a Wednesday night service, continue to be discipled and mentored and trained through that process, which I desired, too, to continue that. So we began to meet, and another young a seminary student, friend of Paul Fuller's, who Paul challenged him to prayerfully consider the church plant. You see, he has a passion. His name's Dan Burris. His wife, Beth, have a new baby. And he began to pray because he has a burden for church planting. He's got a master's degree from Central Baptist Theological Seminary, as I'm pursuing. And he began to pray about it. We have been meeting now for over a year at Perkins in discipleship with Dan. And his family has decided to join this. And they've been a big blessing to us in many ways. So the Lord, again, providing people for us. And with the new baby being born in August, we felt too it was not the right time to start. But the Lord was in it. He provided a place for us to meet, free of charge. The kitchen, Sunday school room, a nursery, a sound system, and seating for over 100 people. And so we've been meeting there, and we'll continue to meet there on Wednesday nights. And we're so thankful for that. And we began a series on Wednesday nights going through the book of Titus, which I have found didn't necessarily understand to be when I started, but have found to be the ultimate church planting manual. That many of the issues that I wanted to inculcate into our core group were really made explicit in that text as I studied it. Things like what an elder should be, the danger of false teaching, church discipline, and enlaced throughout that book, the grace of God. The grace of God in calling us from before the foundation of the world that we might have eternal life. The grace of God that doesn't stop with our salvation but continues its teaching ministry in us, training us to be holy before Him and a light among a dark world in evangelism. And the grace of God that came to us and justified us completely and wholly and freely. Three huge doctrinal sections laced about how to plant a church in between. It's been a wonderful book. We finished that book, and I found that it was the Lord's providence that we did that book, because many of the things that we wanted to cover in regards to church planting were covered in that book. We had our first Pie and Praise Fellowship. We had over 60 people there. I was nervous about it. What are they going to say? What's going to happen? And they've just testified of their love for the Lord and His provision. Like when we have our Pie and Praise Fellowships here, it was wonderful. They wouldn't stop. We were there till 10:30 that night in fellowship and eating lots of pie, unfortunately. It was good. We had a Christmas service held at Joe Miller's place for Teen Challenge and Life Rebuilders. Don Feldstein preached a message that night, and men were moved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A wonderful opportunity. An example of God's providence. I mean, I could multiply examples here, but I want to finish in time to have a chance to say goodbye today before we start our main service. But one example, we had our homecoming time at Northwestern Health Sciences University, where we're teaching 1,100 doctors of chiropractic in one place. It's a scary thought. And so we're there, you know, vendors and lectures and all the things. It's just packed out. And I'm walking around trying to build my practice and talking to people, and also as opportunity. And so a student of mine 7 years ago came up to me and she said, "You know, Dr. Rich, I heard that through the grapevine that you might be, that you're in seminary and that you're pursuing ministry, right? Is that correct? Is that a rumor?" "No, that's right. I have a question for you." I didn't know what is it going to be, a Bible question? She goes, "I live in Lakeville and I can't find a good expository preaching down there. Do you have any ideas for me?" What are the odds? Running into her, that's her question. I have an idea. It's just one of many stories of the Lord's providence. And through this time of Wednesday night, the core group has been strengthened. We've come together with one mind and one heart, and I think that was very important. And this core group that He's built, not everybody's the teacher. We have an accountant. We had someone who loves to advertise and can do all that stuff, make signs, and all of a sudden someone comes out whose gift is outreach and invitation and hospitality and hosting. It's like, I had this list of things we need for a launch, and I look at our launch team and say, everyone's different, and they all plug right in. Another indication of the Lord's goodness, His grace, His providence. Bob and Lisa Klein will be joining us down south of the river. I don't know if they're here, but I've seen tons of growth in that young couple. I was privileged to marry them here at Twin Cities Bible Church. And, you know, here's Bob, you know, in the nursery by himself with babies and diapers and things. And that's just a wonderful thing to see. It's wonderful. And my youngest boy, Josiah, goes to him before me, which is not a wonderful thing as much. But Lisa will be singing a duet with Beth Burris on the opening service. So I'm thankful for that young couple plugging in as well. The Lord has granted us a nice place to meet. We're going to be meeting at the facilities of Minnesota Valley Church on Highway 46. The price was less than meeting at a school. There's a nice nursery, a nice facility, sound systems built in, a storage closet. You can use our kitchen with a cabinet. We'll be meeting at 8:30 in the mornings, Sunday mornings there. They meet later on in that day, and we'll have our fellowship time and be able to maintain our identity through that process. But we're going to be doing a soft launch on next Sunday, a week from today. We're going to be meeting at 8:30 at Minnesota Valley Church. We're going to be doing a soft launch, so we want to seek the Lord's will to make sure that this is the place He would have us be until He opens up a building. So we're putting a little time and effort and energy into advertising right now. And we'll do a full launch in the fall, because the fall is a better time to launch the church as well. And so we're going to be doing kind of a two-stage, and really it became a three-stage launching process. A Wednesday night, a soft launch on Sunday mornings. Once we know that the Lord is in this, as far as location, then we can maybe do more, you know, canvassing and so on in the fall. So that is our plan. We are incorporated. The name of our church is Grace Community Bible Church, GCBC. TCBC, come on, we got to like that. We're going to be preaching through the Gospel of John to start on Sunday mornings. We are not going to have an adult Sunday school. We're not equipped to do that right away. We'll have a kids program, and we'll still meet on Wednesday nights, where we will continue what makes a healthy church member, continue big themes of the Bible, and an overview of our hermeneutic and our approach to the Bible in preparation for a fall start in the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights. So we're going to be doing the book of Genesis and the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. And in the beginning, God spoke the entire world into existence. And develop and start from that standpoint. One more quick story just of how the Lord works, and an encouragement. I'm praying through this list of core people. Morning prayer time, and I'm praying through the list. Get to this person on the list and realize, as I'm getting to that person on the list, I'm realizing I'm supposed to meet that person in 4 minutes at the local Caribou. Okay, well, you say, that's a little thing. That's a big thing in my heart. That's the Lord's providence to bring me to His name 4 minutes before my meeting, which, by the way, was a watershed meeting. And very important gospel presentation. Just wasn't prepared for the meeting, but I've told pastors my best sermons have always been the ones that I'm least prepared for. Now, there's not a, don't get me wrong on that. That's just, when I depend on myself, things don't happen. When I depend on the Lord, things happen. And that is what we're learning in this church plant. I'm thankful for Twin Cities Bible Church, for the elders' love for my family, the training they've given me, and your prayer. I'm thankful for Dr. Zaspel and all of his help. I'm thankful to you for your financial support for our family for over 3 years. When you called me back, it was only supposed to be 2. I'm thankful for my wife and my children and their love for me and for Jody and her tireless efforts with the kids. 3 long, difficult, sometimes very difficult and discouraging years in seminary. And I'm thankful to see my kids plug into the church plant, and my daughter singing with my wife on Wednesday nights and using her violin on Wednesday nights, and my son Ethan singing so loud that the people in the church are like, they're not clapping, but they're looking and they're going, what is that? Kind of like when Dr. Zaspel first came to our church. What is going on? Okay. So it's not quite as similar. But I'd like to close here with turning to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. Couple more closing comments to make after I read this psalm, and we'll have a time of fellowship. Psalm 131, one of my favorite psalms, psalm that has been really a blessing to Jody and I during these last 3 years. And Pastor actually preached a message on this psalm, and I would recommend that you do some sort of a search on our website and download that MP3 and listen to it. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Because frankly, that's what it feels like. Now, verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. We get so busy with the details of this church plant and moments where the Lord has been teaching me faith and listening and dependence and quieting my busy soul. And that's a message we all need for these tumultuous times and the trials that we're facing. It's too difficult for you. Don't bother. Go to your Heavenly Father and get in His lap and rest in Him. And finally, those who have served and helped us with this launch, I want to thank Kyle for his help, and Bruce and Todd and the finances, and Jeff Buck, who's going to be at the buy him dinner or something, driving to Lakeville 3 weeks in a row to help us with sound, and all of the core team for all their help. Becky does our ironing. She doesn't want me to say that, but what a blessing. Elders and the deacons, I thank you for my mom and dad who are here for their prayer and financial support, and for my other mom and dad, Don and Naomi. And Don is an elder in this church, and his tireless efforts for this plant. I mean, it's another lecture. We're not going to do that. And Naomi's tireless servant's heart. Praise you. I'm just praising the Lord for that. And finally, and most importantly, thank you, Lord, for your provision and your providence, because we've seen it every step of the way. What can you do? You can pray for us. We need your prayers more than anything else. From time to time, in even an organized effort, but not now. We have other things to organize. To send families down to be visiting periodically, and so that you can come back and report what's happening, and so that you can pray more intelligently. And that sort of thing. Invite others who are south of the river, down that area, looking for a good church. Invite them and think of us. And finally, I'm going to give each family, there's a lot of people here, I don't know if we have enough, but we have a postcard that Kyle put together. We've edited and it looks really good. Each family can take one of these, put it on the fridge, pray for us. It'll give you our very beginnings of a website and help you know if people ask where we're at. Okay, so you can pass these out. They're mailable. You can mail them to people down in the area as well. So we're going to pass those out after I close in prayer, and during the fellowship time we'll pass these out, or I'll just set, come and get one, and we'll figure out what we're going to do with that. Let's close in prayer and have a time of fellowship together. Heavenly Father, just reflecting on your goodness and your grace has humbled me. I'm so thankful for what you are doing. I'm so thankful that you have promised that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Help us to always remember that it's you who are working, it's you who are saving, and it's you who are sanctifying. And Lord, may we simply be faithful to your word and stand upon it as our firm foundation and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whatever trials may come. We pray the same for Twin Cities Bible Church. We know that will continue, and we thank you for your grace in sustaining this ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Twin Cities Bible Church, grow this ministry, strengthen this ministry, continue to bless our pastor as he labors for us from the book of Hebrews. We give you glory for what you're doing and what you will continue to do. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to depend more upon you, Lord, to have more faith and to be careful not to take any glory for the good things that happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.